It still remains to be asked what actually is the long-term impact going to be. And that has a little bit to do with public opinion. Is this going to actually move the dial in terms of President Trump's approval rating, what his base thinks about him? Is this turning people off, and to what degree? Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. And he joins us now on the phone to break down some of what we know about Trump's base and whether this is actually going to move the dial and by extension motivate some action at the national level. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So going back to what I just said, what do we know about not just Trump's base, but just public opinion in general when it comes to Trump's relationship with Russia? We've kind of talked about this in the context of the Mueller investigation, all of the revelations that have come out about the connections and reported connections and indirect connections and all of that around the 2016 election. And we've talked about that really not moving the dial at all or affecting people's opinion about Trump one way or the other. Is this another example of that, or is this a case where this might actually change people's minds?
Well, certainly in the early polling that's come out, Republicans are just fine with how Trump handled himself in Helsinki. And that's sort of in keeping with a general trend we've seen that anything involving Russia is something where public opinion just really doesn't move when it comes to Trump. People are so entrenched in their feelings about this sort of whole set of issues related to Russia. So we did some polling a few weeks ago about some of the questions related to Trump and Russia that we had also asked a year ago at this time. So very easy to sort of compare the exact same question from one year to the next. And we basically found that even for all the revelations over the last year that have made it clear that the Russia story is a real story, it's just not moving the needle very much on public opinion. We found last month that 39% of voters think that the Russia story is fake news, and a year ago at the same time it was 37%. So even with all the indictments and convictions and guilty pleas from key Trump associates, there was actually a very slight uptick over the last year in people thinking that the whole Russia story is fake news in general. We found a year ago that 42% of voters thought that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, 42% thought it didn't. Now the numbers are 45% think there was collusion and 43% think there wasn't. So those numbers are basically identical. So really, I think to some extent, if you like Trump, the Russia stuff doesn't bother you. If you don't like Trump, the Russia stuff does bother you. And we really haven't seen anything so far sort of change that overall dynamic. So it'll take some more time to see if this time's different, but I kind of doubt it is going to be different.
So one of the things that kind of jumped out at me in the last couple of days, and I was talking with Ashley Campbell, who's a conservative, lives in Orange County, on Tuesday here on the show, and she was talking about her reluctant decision in 2016, in her case, to vote for Trump. But one of the things that she said on Tuesday, and this is something that I've heard from a lot of conservatives, Trump supporters, et cetera, in the last couple of years, is that they supported Trump, at least in part, because he reflected a position of strength. They had this opinion of Obama as a weaker president when it comes to foreign policy, the so-called apology tour where he's going around and apologizing for America and all of that from his presidency. And that was their impression of Obama. They wanted the president who kind of projected a stronger image and took that kind of position of strength when it comes to foreign policy and foreign affairs and geopolitics. In the last couple of days, we have seen Trump act in a way that really seems to project an air of extreme weakness, like coming out at the Helsinki summit with Putin and just seeming to be completely subordinate, even in terms of body language, over and above what he said, which was subordinate enough. And it struck me that if anything at all is going to change the mind of a Trump supporter or Trump's base on on Russia or on just foreign policy at all. It was going to be that display at Helsinki. But is that just not going to do anything? Is this going to be a case where people look at anything that Trump says and anything Trump does and just comes up with some explanation for why this is actually a position of strength or this is actually Trump being strong? Or is anything going to potentially move the dial down the road?
Well, I think you're onto something there with the not looking strong, because that's one of the worst things that a politician can sort of have be perceived about them, is that they're weak. The second that voters perceive that you're weak, you're done a lot of the time. That was really a big part of why Bev Perdue's term as governor here was so unsuccessful, was voters decided early on that she was weak and they never really changed their mind about that. So I think that one big question here is going to be whether Democrats can effectively use this sequence of events that has happened to sort of portray Trump as weak and message about it and run ads about it in a way that's actually effective enough to sort of get people to buy into that message as voters. And I think another big part of that's just going to be how the media covers it. Is the media going to let this all go away after a couple days and move on to sort of the next shiny thing, or is there actually going to be sustained coverage of this in the way that there hasn't been for most of Trump's bad stories, that sort of let voters, as they think about it more and more, say, yeah, you know, he really is kind of weak on this? Because I think a lot of the time the reason he doesn't get held accountable from his voters for much of anything that he does is that nothing sort of stays in the public consciousness for more than a few days at a time. So we'll see if this is different. But, you know, really the sort of core uniting ideology, I think, for Trump voters is they love how much he pisses off Democrats. And certainly this whole thing in Helsinki with Putin this week was another example of pissing off Democrats. So it may be that, you know, as long as he's pissing off Democrats, it doesn't matter whether he's strong or weak, as long as he's achieving that core function that I think so many voters sort of are counting on him for in this climate of extremely negative partisanship.
So to sum that all up, the political strategy for Democrats is not to be angry and call him a traitor, but to be contemptuous and call him a wuss and not to let up on that forever?
Yeah, I think that is a good summary.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. You can also find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. So let's go back to, and I think ultimately when it comes to this scandal, or these scandals, or however you want to characterize it, what people on the left are looking for is not so much a change in public opinion as sort of an ultimate outcome at the result of this, whether it's Republicans losing in the 2018 midterms or Trump getting voted out of office in 2020, or if enough revelations come out and you start talking about censuring or impeaching and convicting and removing. So with all of that in mind, we go back to the last kind of huge, enormous scandal that actually led to all of that down the road, which was Watergate. And I think people think about public opinion as sort of a facilitator of all of those outcomes. Like if Trump's approval rating goes down far enough, then that's going to lead to all of those outcomes down the road. Was that connection there when it comes to the Watergate scandal? Was it a decline in public opinion that led, in this case, Republicans to actually start taking action in Congress on Nixon and Nixon losing his favor with Republicans in Congress? Or was that independent of public opinion? Do we know from numbers what happened there?
Well, certainly a lot of the public opinion about Watergate was similar to the Russia scandal, where you did see Nixon's party base just standing behind him, and eventually the dam broke, but it took a really long time before that happened. So I think there are a lot of parallels where certainly Republican voters in general and most Republican politicians sort of stuck behind Nixon for a very long time until they saw that sort of they were going to get taken down by the ship. And I think what a lot of people are expecting to happen is that if Democrats do wipe out Republicans across the country in November, that might be when Republicans start Republican leaders especially start getting a lot more tough on Trump than they have been to date, if they actually have that tangible proof that he's really hurting them politically, that's then when you might see things shift. I think right now they're still in this mode that's like, well, the polls said that Trump was going to lose in 2016 and mm-hmm. he won, so we don't take this seriously. If we then have the actual elections that make it clear how much of a backlash there is against what's going on and how much of a price Republicans are going to pay down the line for what's happening, I think that's when you might then start to see public opinion shift a little bit more, if you start to see real Republican leaders sort of expressing more public skepticism of Trump.
Right. So let's talk about the upcoming 2018 midterms then, and kind of keeping it focused in North Carolina, a couple of districts that we've talked about in the past that usually are not competitive, starting to look a little bit more competitive now, where Democrats are mounting a big challenge. As we're starting to get closer and closer and closer to Election Day, what are the numbers suggesting about those races?
Well, Civitas Institute, which is a conservative organization, has released polls in both North Carolina's 9th and 13th congressional districts in the last couple weeks. The 9th congressional district one was especially interesting. It had the Democrat Dan McCready leading his Republican opponent Mark Harris by 7 points, and that's in a district that Donald Trump won by 11 points in 2016. So that's really quite a shift right there for the Democrat to be up by 7. And then in the 13th district, they just yesterday released a poll that had the Republican incumbent Ted Budd up by 5 points on the Democratic challenger Kathy Manning, which is competitive for that district. And one thing that's particularly interesting in that district that's sort of happened in a lot of places across the country this week is that Kathy Manning is significantly out fundraising the Republican incumbent Ted Budd. And as second quarter finance numbers came in from across the country this week, it became clear that there's a lot of Republican incumbents who are getting outraised by their Democratic challengers, which is a very unusual situation. So big picture, I see both the 9th district and the 13th district at this point as being pretty close to 50-50 races, toss-ups that really could go one way or another this fall. And these are not districts that were ever supposed to be competitive. Republicans tried to draw what they felt would be a permanent 10-3 Republican advantage House map just a couple years ago, with the thought that none of these districts would ever be close. But the thing about drawing a map where you spread yourself thinly enough to get to a 10-seat situation is that then if you have a wave election, you might have spread yourself too thin. And I think it's possible that that's what the situation is in the 9th and 13th, because they definitely look like they could go to the Democrats this year, which they weren't supposed to.
Speaking with Tom Jensen again, public policy polling, and we got to wrap up in a second, but as we do, I want to go back to something that you had said earlier, which is as we started the conversation, you said that, you know, just from what you had seen and nothing this week changing that anything involving Russia is not going to really move the dial or change people's minds. Is there any issue that does? Like, if we remove the word Russia from that sentence and filled in the blank with something else, is there an issue that actually, when there are developments transpiring, this actually does eat into Trump's base or move voters in one direction or another?
The only time I've really seen the political climate shift significantly because of something that was going on during the 18 months that Trump's been president was actually this exact time last year when they were trying to repeal Obamacare. So as we've talked about many times, healthcare is sort of the magic issue that did move some people. And it sounds like there's another Obamacare repeal push coming up. That's good news for Democrats, because when healthcare is on the top of voters' minds this cycle, that's when you actually do see the generic congressional ballot moving in Democrats' direction, when you see people saying that they disagree with Trump on an issue and that sort of thing. So certainly I think from a policy standpoint, Democrats don't want them messing around with that. But from an electoral standpoint, it's like, yeah, bring it on. Remind voters of the issue that they hate you on.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Again, find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.